if we could just look in the book of Proverbs, something close to my heart that has been instrumental in my development, in my Christian development. So we could read Proverbs 9 and verse 9. Proverbs 9 and verse 9. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. For by me thy days shall be multiplied, and the years of thy life shall be increased. If thou be wise, thou shalt be wise for thyself, but if thou scornest, thou alone shall bear it. There's something that has helped me through the years in my Christian walk, and that's been having a mentor. And his name is David Newell. He lives in Scotland. But this man has taught me immensely and has guided me in many different ways through my life and through the Bible. We do a Bible study once a week on Thursday mornings before the kids get up. And it's been, say, 8 or 9 years now that we've been doing it. And because of that, my walk with the Lord has been greatly increased. My knowledge of the Lord has greatly increased. And I was looking at other people in Scripture that had a mentor and someone that has increased in that because of having the mentor. And one came to mind, and that would be Joshua. And we all know the wonderful mentor-mentee relationship between Joshua and Moses. And so a leadership role in the local assembly or in a spiritual capacity doesn't just fall into one's lap. There is a path, a spiritual education that is needed to equip men for the responsibility, the tremendous responsibility of leading God's people. And Joshua is no different in that, for he needed to learn as well. And so let's look at Joshua there in Exodus 17. Now, Joshua needed to be challenged. He needed to be encouraged, and he needed to be willing to learn from older men, and he needed to be able to be willing to learn from men that were more experienced than himself. And it's interesting that before Joshua was ever named the successor of Moses, he had many victories beforehand, victories for God. And he caught the eye of Moses quite early. And so Exodus 17 and verse 9, and Moses said unto Joshua, this is the first mention of Joshua that we see. And Moses said unto Joshua, choose out men and go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. So Joshua did as Moses had said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him. And he sat thereon, and Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on the one side and the other on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. So we have here Joshua. In the beginning, he catches the eye of Moses, someone who had been into spiritual things, Moses would look around and see who he could trust, who he could put into a leadership position. And here Joshua is chosen. First time we see Joshua here. And it seems as if there's a bond that connects now. There's a relationship that is has developed between Joshua and Moses with this wonderful thing that happened between them, where Moses was on top of the mountain and in prayer and in supplication on behalf of Joshua, who is down in the valley fighting. And it seemed as if now we have Moses taking Joshua under his wing. And there is a relationship where now Joshua is with Moses and he is accountable to Moses. And there's a relationship and a bond that's happening, a mentor-mentee relationship. And it's interesting that Joshua, being the man that he was willing to learn from Moses, willing to appreciate what Moses would have to teach him. And in Proverbs 9, we read of two men, and we have here, and they're traveling the same area, where we have a wise man being instructed, and we have a just man being taught. And both of them will increase in their knowledge of God because of their willingness to learn from more of a wiser man than themselves. And it's difficult sometimes to place your feet in a learning position to an older person, maybe in a younger one, but there's that relationship that can bond between the young and old alike. And so there's that teachable spirit in Joshua that makes the difference, that wisdom can flourish instead of foolishness. And it's all because of a teachable spirit. So now we have Joshua, and he's reliable and he can be counted upon. And Moses gives him this opportunity to get ready for battle and choose out his own men. And Moses is allowing him to do this. And he's not alone in this. For once again, we remember that Moses was on top of the hill and he was in prayer. And there's men that I am indebted to, that have taken me aside and to taught and teach me and to guide me and to give me the opportunity to increase in spiritual things. But it wasn't me just by myself all in the lonesome. No, the men that took interest in me would also pray for me, and they would come alongside me and guide me. And so with that being said, in our circles today, in the assemblies that we find ourselves, for have an older man to be able to look out in the assembly and see a younger man that is interested in the things of God, that is interested in spiritual things and needs some guidance and direction, to come alongside and to be that mentor, that one that will draw alongside and guide and help and pray, and to be a mentor to that younger brother. Now, there's something that happens when that goes on. The mentor, Moses, learns things just as much as Joshua. And I have learned things just as much as my mentor has helped me. And so there's a mutual benefit that happens. And over time, you can see the connection and the love that grows between them. And so when I'm looking at this, I say, what a wonderful relationship. And here we have Joshua struck on the page. He had many victories for God, and he was willing to be used. And Moses gives him the opportunity in Exodus 17. But even though we wonder who could be mentored, right? And we could see someone who is willing to be mentored should be chosen. And I was thinking of where should we start? If you see someone and you want to be there, you want to have that relationship, where would you start? Where would you start? And in verse 10 of Proverbs, we have here, it says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." That is That's a phrase often repeated in Proverbs. And that's where it should start. You have the fear of the Lord, the foundation of which to build. And even a scholar to whether you're a scholar in biblical knowledge and understanding, or even one that has just been born into the family of God, the foundation to build off of is the fear of the Lord. And that is the beginning of wisdom. And so our minds should always be open for instruction. We never reach that plateau where we don't need to learn anymore. And neither did Moses, and Joshua understood that. And so there was a following of where Moses was, Joshua wanted to be. And when Joshua would follow, he would understand where Moses would mostly be, and that would be in the presence of God. And because of that, Joshua understood that he too needed to be in the presence of God continually. And so if we can read the next portion where Joshua is again mentioned, and that's in Exodus 24. Joshua, second time mentioned. It's a wonderful mention. Exodus 24 and verse 13. And Moses rose up and his minister Joshua, and Moses went up into the mount of God. So you have Joshua following Moses. And then also in chapter 33, Joshua is mentioned again. Chapter 33 and 11. And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. And he turned again into the camp. But his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. And so we have Joshua, and he sees his mentor, and he understands that the main thing that his mentor is trying to teach him is to be close to the Lord. And he's teaching Joshua the importance of reverence and obedience. And Joshua is receiving all of this. And an entrained principles is being founded, which will have a huge impact on Joshua in his life to come, just because of where Moses takes him to the presence of God. And there's godly leaders, and they like to lead, and that's great. And you can always tell a godly leader where that godly leader will instruct someone to look to Christ and get into the presence of Christ, and will shy away from having that person cling to him or her, but push them to Christ and to the presence of God. So there will be wisdom, and to have wisdom, you can see that it's all about knowing God, and that is where wisdom lies. And so you have Moses being an example for Joshua. And with that, he is learning, he's watching, and he is learning from Moses that reverence and being in God's presence is the most valuable thing, and that will sustain him through his life. There's another thing is, why should we be taught? Why should we be taught? And we find that verse in Proverbs 11, Proverbs 9 and verse 11. And it says, for by me thy days shall be multiplied, and the years of thy life shall be increased. And it was very true in Joshua's life. Remember that he was the one that came back with Caleb with a good report. And the 12 spies that went in, he was part of that group. But when they came back, there was 10 malcontents that had a poor report. But Joshua and Caleb held to it and said that God was in it and that they could be able to conquer the land. And so Joshua again appears on the page, and here he's standing for God, and he's planting his flag, and he says that he will trust and he will commit everything into God's hands. And you see that in this particular instance that Joshua had a long life. He didn't die in the wilderness with all the others that were above the age. And so in this instance, it's true that the long life would be because of being righteous and being leaning on God. But for us today, it's there's not a promise that we'll have a long life, but it does promise that we'll have an eternal life. God does promise that. And with that, we have a long life and an enjoyment of our eternal life. We can have a happy and we can have a successful Christian life when we commit everything to God, when we lay everything at his feet. And so with that, we will have maybe not a long life in years, but a happy and an enjoyment of our salvation, of our eternal life that would be ours for here and after. And so it's interesting that you have Moses and this relationship. And you see that Moses, I could see if I could dream up of what Moses would be thinking, there would be such a wonderful air about him to see someone that he has committed time into, someone that he has prayed for continually, someone that he has put energy and effort into, going on for the things of God and going on for what God would have him to do, and to be a real asset for God in years to come. And to have that there would be would put a smile on Moses's face, and knowing that the next generation would have someone to, you know, to look up to in some degree. And I think about the different assemblies around, and do we have leaders that would be able to teach, be able to guide the next generation? For it only takes one generation for things to be lost. And so to have spiritual leaders to guide the young, to be able to pick up and to teach properly the young, and to have the young willing and able to learn from an older person, to be able to be ready for what comes ahead. For we're living in dark days, and it's difficult to be in a leadership position. I must say I'm not in one myself in as an elder, but those men that are in eldership in Arlington, I pray for them. They need our prayers. So it's a difficult time to have that leadership position. And so here, what a joy Moses' heart would have to see see Joshua move on and do great things for God, and understand that he had a part in guiding him. Now this would be easy if we could mandate it and make everybody do this. And make the young obey and have the young have the desire, but it's not realistic. We everyone chooses their own, and whether they're going to follow wisdom, it's everyone's own decision whether they're going to be able to be taught, whether they'll be able to whether they're willing to listen to an older generation. And so for the younger ones on today, I would encourage you to listen and be guided by the older. And for the older ones, I would ask for you to take time to guide us. For we're a lot of times we're headstrong, and we have lots of zeal, and we need a lot of help. And with this world, you know, a lot of things we think we're going through by ourselves. But to find out that ones that have gone on before us had the exact same problems and issues or questions in life. And so it's a wonderful thing to see the mentor relationship. We see it in Paul and Timothy as well. And what a wonderful relationship they had. And for the furtherance of the gospel and for the building up of the assembly, I feel that it is very important. And the time and the effort that's put in by every individual, it's amazing what can be done with time and effort that is shown to a younger man. That was just on my heart. I wanted to put that out there my life has been changed because of older brethren that have taken me aside and to help me. And I feel that that would be great to let you know about what has been done in my life, to encourage you for if there's a possibility of that happening where you are. I've been asked also to speak a wee bit about Zambia. And so my wife, Stephanie, and I would hopefully leave for Zambia in about the end of May, beginning of June. Everything's very fluid because I don't know how the Biden administration will have rules in place or whether or not. As of right now, I'm able to fly out. So if things all are a go, we'll fly out the end of May. We'll be at La Loma Mission Hospital, would be the home base that we would reside. They have a house there that we would be able to rent. There's a lot of assemblies in the area, so I would more do teaching and discipling and teaching if that in ministry, if that's possible. A lot of maintenance on the hospital. My wife does work at the hospital here in Arlington. She does x-rays and CAT scans, but with four little ones, I don't think she'll have time to also having that full-time job. So she won't be at that time be in the hospital working. My main focus as well is in a place called Namibia, which is further south of Zambia. You're not able to immigrate into Namibia. They don't want any immigration. And so it's very difficult to get inside. They allow tourists, for that's their main income. And so I've gone to Namibia twice now. There's a group that goes every year. Julie Frank from La Loma and Rebecca Flynn from La Loma as well, two nurses. They come down with a Zambian couple, Edgar and Maria, and from Wales, a man by the name of Matthew Perkins, he flies in, and Jay Garrison from West Richmond, and Danny and Dorothy Singh have come as well. And we meet up and we do tract distribution and getting out the gospel in Namibia. There's three main cities in Namibia that are where everybody lives. It's not hugely populated, and it's Swakopmund, Otjiwangu, and Windhoek. And those three are somewhat in a triangle in the center of Namibia. And so those in that area, I would like to reach out with in the gospel. There's not an assembly presence there. At least there's not a gospel hall, and I did not see a chapel anywhere as well. So it would be a desire, Steph and I, to see an assembly established in Namibia. And so since we're not able to live in Namibia, we'd live in Zambia and drive into Namibia when we're able to. Now, as of right now, Namibia is completely locked up, and they have no flying in or out. And so they've pretty much locked their country down. So at that point, I wouldn't be able to get in, but Zambia is open and able to be flown into. Zambia offers, they also do a lot of camps, which I am aware of and able to do. They do a lot of speaking arrangements with the camps for the kids. A lot of Sunday school efforts are there. A lot of gospel work in the hospital itself and outside of the hospital. So that would be my main focus, if possible, is to do a lot of preaching and teaching in the area and a lot of gospel work in Namibia when it's open again. And so we'd hopefully leave end of May. As I said, there is a missionary there named Timothy and Joy Beer. They are a couple that has a couple kids that are reaching the age of university. And so they had been praying for a couple to come to pretty much swap, for they would like to come back to the United States and to set up their kids in university and get them established and then come back. And so hopefully that's why we want to leave so soon, is so that we can get there. And Tim, being the only male missionary there, would somewhat give me the ropes and show me what goes on day to day, and then leave the keys to me, I guess, in some capacity, which is daunting, to say the least. So you can pray for Tim and Joy Beer. So yeah, he's a great man. Really enjoy him. When Stephanie and I lived in Zambia a few years ago, about 8 years ago, in Kalani, he came up for the conference and was a big help. So I've met Tim. I've been enjoyed Tim quite a bit. He's a good man, and his wife is also very caring to my wife. So it's been great corresponding with them. So